This is a Collider.com audio interview.
That was the single weirdest interviews I've ever done. I remember having to whisper into the ear of my...
Yes, it was.
It actually got weirder because then I went from Brazil to Argentina and I discovered that negotiating your way through a foreign airport without a voice, and they've just changed your gait and you can't ask anybody where your plane is now. Very strange.
That's South America for you, man.
So, how much are you involved in the casting of the
movies? I was quite involved in the casting of the movies. It was really fun. They had a website where they put all of the footage of, you know, they film dozens and dozens of actors and actresses, and it would all be available for me to look at. In fact, it got to the point, at one point, I wound up in Los Angeles operating the camera on a sort of short list of five potential stars, Evaines, which was really bizarre. Matthew was meant to be doing it and I was just meant to be hanging around, but then he said, you know, I can't concentrate on their performances. You know, you do the camera. So suddenly I'm over there going, what? Camera? Very bizarre. But it was great. I got to be very involved. I got to veto a few people. I got to, you know, at least with a couple of people, cast the deciding vote. And I felt like I was playing an important part in it. I kept trying to get Charles involved, except that Charles lives in rural Virginia, where they burn people, technologically speaking, they will burn people at the stake for possessing things like toasters. And so Charles doesn't have anything that would actually play
these
quick-time films.
I would see a digital blurred image of someone and a bit of sound, and then that would be it. Be like, who is that? What were they doing?
Is it Ghost Story?
Yes.
So Alan Moore has famously had some bad experiences with his work being translated and has now sort of stepped back and doesn't even bother with it anymore. Obviously, this time you guys are closely involved, but is there sort of a weird thing about letting your work go and somebody else's hands?
I think, yeah, I mean, I have to say one of the reasons, at least with Stardust, that I was so involved, that I was part of it from the beginning. I was working with Matthew from the beginning. I chose Jane Goldman and persuaded Matthew that she should be the screenwriter and worked with them and so on and so forth, was from watching Alan's experiences. Because Alan's philosophy has always been, you know, the book's the book, and, you know, the comic's a comic, they can make the film, I'll have nothing to do with it, I'll hope they make a good one. And time after time, he's been disappointed. And to the point where now, you know, three films in, he's really, I don't want anything to do with this. He's taken his name off it, he won't receive the money for it, and all of that kind of stuff. And I thought, well, it seemed rather I thought maybe I could help, maybe I could make things... Why, you know, I would hate to go and see a film of one of my things and have it be awful. I've been sent scripts for Sandman over the years that made me feel physically sick. There was at least one that I didn't finish. It was the one that began with the, you know, foolish mortal, as if your puny weapons could hurt me, the mighty lord of dreams, the Sandman. Oh, God, oh, fuck's sake. You know, so I know how bad things can be. And what I had here was a director-producer who loved the book for what it was and wanted it to turn it into a film, and who also understood that a film and a book are not the same thing. And you don't... You know, the end of Stardust is completely different from the end of Stardust the book. Because if you filmed the end of Stardust the book as a film, you'd have a lot of people sitting there in the audience going, well, that was kind of disappointing. I thought all of these characters sort of missed each other. And in a book, that's actually part of the fun, is you're sort of looking at things from above and you're watching all these characters miss each other and you know what's going through their heads and you know the ironies that are building up. But you'd be really irritated if you sat through the film and suddenly, you know, all of these characters missed each other. So we had to work out ways for them all to, you know, everybody gets to come together at the end, and it all gets to be enormously fun. But it gets to be fun in ways that I'm cool with and that Charlie's cool with, as opposed to that thing where you're sitting there looking up at the screen, gritting your teeth.
Getting smaller and smaller.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
What was the most difficult challenge for you during the whole production? Is there any specific sequences that were thought should not be done?
I have to say, the whole thing, when you go out to Pinewood and you look at what they've done, they've made a $150 million movie for $70 million with every penny on the screen, and they've done it partly by eschewing CGI wherever possible and actually doing it for real. So you'd walk in and there would be the witch's lair. In the book, what I did was I wrote this, it's a tumble-down cottage with a huge mirror in it, and through the mirror you can see the palace that they used to live in and the young, beautiful versions of the witches who were there. And that doesn't really work. So what Matthew and Jane did was they took that idea and compressed it, and you've got these witches living in a corner, this dusty, deserted corner of what turns out when the lights go on to be this enormous palace. And it's... Charlie and I were walking the palace.
Yeah, and it's built. So it's all, you know... Whoa.
They built it. They built a giant flying pirate ship. I feel faintly guilty that all of these people had to hammer and nail and paint and stuff. It's quite astonishing, but that's how they did it. All of the things that these days in Hollywood they would simply CGI, they made it for real, slightly cheaper.
Do you have a feeling of practical effects versus CGI? Do you have a preference?
To be honest, I like practical effects wherever possible, because there's that horrible moment in things like Brothers Grimm where you go, oh, CGI. I love CGI if it's invisible, but don't like it when it's there and obvious. And we'll see. I mean, it's not that there won't be any CGI sequences in Stardust. There are several that we've seen animatics for.
And there's the scenes in Iceland, which weren't
God,
up
they are
there.
So bizarre.
And they look like CGI, but it's just Iceland.
It's like, I'm actually kind of hoping they're going to cut a little bit of the beginning of that scene, just because it looks computer-generated. The entirety of this shot, you begin and you're going, oh, that's computer-generated, and it's not terribly good. And it's like, no, it's what it looks like, and that part of Iceland, you have all these strange hills and things that look like they were computer-generated. It's very weird.
Charles, how much input did you have in the art direction?
I was on the sidelines going, go, go, go. That's about it.
Is it pretty faithful to what you did?
It's faithful to the spirit. It's like someone's built the world, their world of Stardust slightly over to the right from mine that's over here on the left. And it feels the same, but it doesn't look the same. But it made me very happy to see it.
It was really weird. There were things like we were out on Pinewood seeing this inn, and it was a Charles Vess. You know, with this huge building, and it's a Charles Vess.
I want it for my studio. Except there's no other side to
it. He walked around the back and was incredibly disappointed to discover there wasn't a behind to it. Otherwise, he would have had it shipped to Virginia.
Except the interior set of the same thing is all the furniture is made out of antlers and bones, and I don't think I would want that in my studio. But
I know that you did the John Bolton short film sort of as a test run for your eventual feature debut.
Yeah.
What's the status on that, and is this experience sort of like giving you some more ammo for when you finally do?
Yeah, no, it has. I mean, there's what's the status on that? There's a TV series there's one thing that I'm not allowed to announce yet because we're still putting everything together, but that's going to mean from some people who loved the John Bolton film and didn't really even know that I did anything else, and came to me and said, we love this thing, could you make a bunch of films for us? So I'm going to be doing that, and that will be announced fairly soon. And the Death movie chugs along. It's one of those things where where Hollywood is concerned, I've been around too long to either get excited or to get despondent. Everything seems to happen in its own time, and, you know, with the... It's been over at Warner's, it then moved over to New Line, it's, I think, now in the process of moving back from New Line to Warner's. Or to Warner Independent now, because there wasn't any Warner Independent originally, and because it's Sandman, it can't leave Warner's, and eventually it'll happen, or it won't, and I think it probably will.
Has this given you ammo for,
I mean,
like, learn things?
Yes, but you learn things every time you're out there. I mean, the main thing that I always forget about filmmaking is that basically it's like taking a small army and then doing the impossible with it. And that's the case on every single film crew I've ever been on and around, is watching them doing the impossible. Sandman doesn't have a status. I mean, it's if there was news, I would tell you. Warner Brothers is very cognizant that Sandman is one of the jewels in the crown. They are aware enough of what it is to know that they don't want to make a bad Sandman film. On the other hand, they have no idea how to make a good Sandman film, or a good trilogy of films, or a good set of 10 films, or whatever. My personal theory is that it's going to wait until one day there'll be a Sam Raimi, as with Sam Raimi on Spider-Man, as with Peter Jackson on Lord of the Rings. There'll be somebody for whom the material is personal, and who has a vision, and who can convince the studio to follow along with them, and they'll get to make a film. But I honestly, I would rather not see a Sandman film than see a bad Sandman film. And I think most of us are in the same position.